This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This ends. All right, we have Paul Rainwater, chair of Governor Landry's Sewage and Water Board Task Force. They just issued their report. And the report starts out basically outlining a lot of things that we've already talked about on this show. A low confidence in the Sewage and Water Board. Fractured governance between the Department of Public Works and the Sewage and Water Board as it relates to drainage. Botched billing. Outstanding judgments that have yet to be funded. Clogged catch basins, I think 72,000 basins, not all clogged, but insufficient maintenance plan, and deficient revenues and outdated equipment, which leads to what? Long-term capital deficit because they're not appropriately funded. They made a number of priority recommendations, and we'll talk to that with Paul. Paul, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Neil. Appreciate it.
So y'all covered a lot in the first pages of the report of what I just outlined, and we've all talked about that, and no need to really kind of rehash it. And as a result of that, y'all made a number of priority recommendations. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so, kind of right up front is obviously that the whole Department of Public Works and drainage duties, making sure that there's a clear line of sight who's responsible for the catch basins in those smaller pipes. And so, that obviously is, super important that, drainage be managed in one part of an organization and that go to the Sewage and Water Board and the money follow those responsibilities. And we've talked to a number of legislators who have agreed to, they think it's important, and they're willing to memorialize that in legislation. The other part, and you and I have talked about this a lot, and it's what we heard in public hearings and I've received emails from, citizens who have, $15,000 to $17,000 bills, right? And that's we've got to earn the taxpayers' trust back. And so one of the things that we're talking about is an independent arbitration arbitrator. There's already some legislation filed as well, and a special master what we're talking about doing, since smart metering is coming on by 2026, for a period of 2 years, you would have an arbitrator or special master who would work with the Sewage and Water Board billing department to make final decisions on bills that are just outrageous, right? And we know, and you've heard a number of those. We think that's very important to winning back the public's trust, and that people just get a final answer within some reasonable period of time and not drag out. As we heard example after example of people who had bills that literally 2 years later still are, look on their bill and see a discrepancy. So that's got to be cleaned up. And we think this is the way to do it. The other piece is that was right up front was the idea of unclassifying some of the civil service managerial positions, making those unclassified. Either that'll be dealt with in legislation or that'll be dealt with in the Constitutional Convention that is upcoming because civil service is a little bit complicated. And then one that's gotten the headlines is the recovery district idea that, you know, there are some examples around the country of systems that have been put in receivership or have been put in reform organizations. The one we use is Louisville, Kentucky. That has probably met the most resistance from a lot of folks. And, you know, Senator Jimmy Harris and I had some conversations about it. Most people feel like there's another way to do it, that this having it put in a recovery district, there are some complications there related to how money follows and how what we didn't want to do. And although it's in the report, right, and we said we would, you know, list all recommendations by task force members, this was brought up, and it's something we put in the report. And look, it's going to there's going to be some conversations about it, right? But I don't think it's top of everybody's mind. So those are kind of the – well, the other piece, obviously, is the drainage consolidation, which we talked about. And then there's a piece about power improvements and strategy that, you know, we've talked about the power station before, moving into the 21st century on power and redundancy. Obviously, finishing up that power station will be very helpful. There's been some very positive conversations about how to fund that overage that occurred. I think you and I talked about that, that, you know, there was a bid that came in about $25 million over. There's also a recommendation about operations audits, which is something that's already being done, but we felt like maybe there's an opportunity to plus that up and to, you know, to kind of take some of those audit findings and kind of continue on. The last recommendation was declaring a state of emergency, which obviously is, you know, the thing you say for last resort. So we are having a meeting Tuesday with a number of legislators and the governor's staff to kind of talk about, like, path forward on these recommendations. And so we'll start working with legislators on what needs to be done to accomplish some of the things we talked about.
So the priority recommendations A, B, and C, the three that start out on the report, is that creating any heartburn for anybody?
You know, so there are, I mean, the council, I mean, I've spoken to Oliver Thomas, you know, there Councilman Thomas and Councilman Jeruso and Morrell and Elena Moreno about some of the recommendations. Councilman Green, you know, so the question is, right, on, for example, drainage consolidation. Who provides the oversight? And, you know, there's been this kind of back and forth about, and here's just reality. And you know this, I mean, you've worked in government. I've worked in government a long time. If you receive money from an entity, you have to be responsible to that entity. And so if the drainage, catch basins and smaller pipes go over to Sewage and Water Board and the council, you know, appropriates dollars that follow that recommendation and it moves over, the responsibility moves over, then the Sewage and Water Board needs to report to the council about some of that. That's been a back and forth that's, you know, we all feel like the task force and the governor and his staff feel like that needs to, you know, that back and forth needs to stop. And we just need to memorialize in legislation how this should work going forward. Right. So the billing, for example, and the special master. Now we're just getting down to the details before, of how this works.
Before we move on, let's talk about the catch basins real quick. So, you know, what's interesting to me is that obviously this fragmented approach seems fairly obvious that it's not working. Right. I mean, does anybody get the sense that it's working? Because I don't. I mean, I don't know.
No,
I haven't heard that anybody does.
Yeah.
The other thing that's kind of interesting to me is that y'all talk about this in the report, the difficulty, the cost, the expense of vacuum trucks, right, in doing it. My son works in a business that utilizes vacuum trucks, and he tells me they're nothing but a royal pain in the derriere, and they're very difficult to maintain. They cost a lot of money. They're effective. They work. But you have to be all over it from a maintenance perspective, which kind of begs the question. You know, we have like leafless gutters, and we have ways of moving the vast majority of debris and separating it from water. Has anybody ever thought about developing catch basins down here that kind of do the same thing? You know, where
yes,
you're moving debris, you know, but why are we not? I mean, we know we got this problem, right? And then we know we had these antiquated pipes, and experts tell me part of the problem is the water hose, the jet hose that we're putting down there to unclog some of this, because of the degradation in the piping, it cuts the hose. The hoses are very expensive. It's one of the biggest maintenance issues that they have with vacuum trucks. You know, why do we not recognize this? And is anybody out there working towards a solution that makes all of this easier? I don't get the sense that they are. The folks that I've reached out to say we're not. Do you know if we are?
Here's the challenge. So there was testimony on both sides. There was testimony about the idea of using vacuum trucks, but there was also testimony about moving to catch basins that look different, that are protected, that, you know, different engineering, right? The challenge is nobody's talked about that because the money's not there to do it. If you remember, the reason that we focus so much on billing and so much on rates in the conversation is because public confidence is so low. And so one of the things that's happened is that the consumer is not willing to pay more. And so the Sewage and Water Board, without the right amount of funding, hasn't even moved forward. Walt Leger made a great point in our last task force meeting. He said we should be thinking about the system we need 30 to 50 years from now, not the system we need today.
Exactly.
So, my career has been dealing with a lot of problems, and what I always recognize is, okay, first things first, we got to deal with some basics.
Right.
And I think the governor's staff recognizes that there's some basic things that have to happen very quickly, right? And while we have this momentum, let's do that. And so I think there's an opportunity to have the legislature, the council, the mayor, the Sewage and Water Board all on the same sheet to kind of move forward on the three things we've talked about, to fix them, to build more confidence, and then move forward. Because, look, once you start, you have the ability to increase rates, you know, collect more money, then you can start thinking about, you know, other things. The other thing that we've encouraged Gasan to do is look at some innovation grants. You know, as you know, the infrastructure bill has a lot of money to correct problems from the past. And so, you know, obviously that's something that he's taking a look at. They've applied for some grants. They're looking at others. That's one way to get ahead of it, you know, without waiting
on some of the federal dollars that we've had with some of the street improvements and the drainage improvements that we've had to do. If we had catch basins that were designed differently, that would minimize the amount of debris that would end up in those horizontal pipes, we could spend some of those dollars now. I mean, we're never going to be able to afford to go out there and replace 72,000 catch basins in the span of 5 years. So that's a pipe dream. That's not going to happen. But you got to build on it, right? I mean, it just
there's no disagreement there, Newell, that you have to build on. But it's like anything else, right? It's like an army, it's like a baseball team, a football team. You know, if you're 2-8, right, you kind of go, okay, I got to get back to fundamentals. And that's what we have to do. We got to get back to fundamentals. It's not that there are people doing a good job, but there's some very intrinsic issues that have to be dealt with. And I think what we tried to do is put those three things, like, you know, face up, here's what we got to deal with. And this is what's
going to happen. I love it. So. I love it. For what it's worth, I love it, because I always viewed my role when I was sheriff in operations, and when I was a chief criminal deputy in operations, I removed hurdles. I went to work to every day wondering how many hurdles could I remove so that I could get from point A, my men and women could get from point A to point B faster. You know, where I wouldn't compromise something inside the organization operationally. And that's what I set out to do, removing hurdles. I think what y'all have done is remove hurdles, right? and tried to make it more streamlined and getting from point A to point B faster. I'm just kind of curious. I've heard a lot of folks, all you know, a little bit uptight about this and that, and wondering, you know, who's going to have control over this and who's. What do we fear? Because, you know, I think you and I are on the same page here. It ain't working. I mean, so what do we fear? Do we fear success? I mean, I don't know.
Well, you know, like part of the challenge is that there's, you know, look, the council has a role. And, you know, I respect that role. They're elected. The mayor has a role. The Sewage and Water Board is appointed by, you know, through legislation. They have a role. The state has a role. I think what you're hearing and seeing is kind of a rebalance a bit, or a reset of, hey, look, this is why we're here. This is why, you know, the governor, I mean, look, the governor ran for office. He picked this up while he was, you know, going to events, right, and campaigning. And there were so many complaints, and it was so evident to him that it was in the New Orleans transition team report, and it's, you know, now a task, the part of a task force. So, yeah, there's no doubt about it. And, you know, just helping everybody understand that we're all in this together. I might not live in New Orleans, but, you know, I work with the city of New Orleans. I mean, and the people on the task force live in New Orleans. And they were there just to do what they were asked to do, right? And they cared to serve for 30 days and listen. And I think that, you know, it's a thoughtful report. If people look beyond the state takeover, which is, to be very frank, was only talked about out of 9 hours of conversation, right, in 30 days of study, was only brought up for about 3 minutes in our meetings.
Yeah.
So.
Right. Yeah, well, that's clickbait. I mean, you know, you get it. I get it.
yes, sir.
You know, I mean, that's not going anywhere. But I mean, you know, when you talk about like item 8, pump to the river from Monticello 17th Street Basin. That's huge, because as y'all point out, that's 39% of the stormwater in that basin. That helps Lakeview, Old Metairie, Old Jefferson. It helps a lot of different people, you know, and talking about that regional consolidation and thought process. That's big time. Those lead to successful outcomes, right?
That's a 30-50 year plan. That's right.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. I mean, it's amazing that no one's focusing on that. I mean, because that saves a big, big area, obviously, of both Jefferson and Orleans. And when you go, you know, is better than anyone, Paul, you go to the federal government, you got multi-jurisdictional projects and solutions. They look really favorably upon those, right?
That's right. It's all about saving money, regionalization, efficiency. That's exactly right. That's what they're looking for. They're looking for things that are going to last well into the 21st century, because, you know, you're investing federal tax dollars into something that's got to survive. So
real quick, does this change any of the legislation that y'all have thought about and that has been proposed? I know you said you're going to meet with legislators next week. Is that what that's going to be about?
Yes, sir. So now it's about taking some of the skeleton bills that were filed and to start to fill out like what those bills will look like and what the detail is. And, you know, again, the conversations I've had with Senator Harris, Senator Bowie, Representative Hilperty, Representative Knox and some others, Representative Amy Freeman and Royce Duplessis, is to, like, let's take those top three things and let's figure out like how we memorialize that in legislation and help the Sewage and Water Board, the city, the mayor, the whole community move forward with something that, you know, makes sense. And there'll be some other pieces, you know, around, you know, does there need to be an advisory committee? Does there need to be, you know, what else needs to take place to ensure that there are reforms that take place to support Ghassan and his team moving forward? So
I tell you, if y'all get those three things done, that's huge. That's big time success in my view, for what it's worth.
Well, I appreciate that. Well, I mean, it's, you know, look, the task force was very sincere about what they were doing. And I think that it can lead to something good. And, but, you know, the legislative process now starts. And so, but we've got a good delegation.
Let the fun begin.
Yes, sir.
And they would all be laughing along with us. They would, you know, they would.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
But, Paul, thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations to you, and please pass that on to the remainder of the task force that worked so hard on this. And, you know, that big time money you get for volunteering on these task forces, we appreciate it because we've been there before. Thank you so much for joining us, sir.
Thank you. Happy Easter. Thank you, sir.
Same to you. Paul Rainwater, chair of Governor Landry's Sewage and Water Board Task Force. If you want to see the report, you can find it on the internet. Just put those words in. It's there. It's worth your while to read it. It really is. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.